Good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this 25th day of March. It is day 84 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up with you every day to spend some time together in the pages of the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible do what the Bible does and direct our hearts to the one who is the living Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. So we come from all around this beautiful planet. We show up here to warm our hearts by the fires of God's love. For God is love. And today, we'll take a look into the book of Joshua, chapters 21 and 22, then on to Psalm 47, and we'll finish in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Sounds good. Here we go. Lord, help us to see. Joshua 21. Then the leaders of the tribe of Levi came to consult with Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders of the other tribes of Israel. They came to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us towns to live in and pasture lands for our livestock." So by the command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own grants of land. The descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan, within the tribe of Levi were allotted 13 towns that were originally assigned to the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other families of the Kohathite clan were allotted 10 towns from the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The clan of Gershon was allotted 13 towns from the tribe of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The clan of Merari was allotted 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the Israelites obeyed the Lord's command to Moses and assigned these towns and pasture lands to the Levites by casting sacred lots. The Israelites gave the following towns from the tribes of Judah and Simeon to the descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan within the tribe of Levi. Since the sacred lot fell to them first, Kiriath Araba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with its surrounding pasture lands. Araba was an ancestor of Anak. But the open fields beyond that town and the surrounding villages were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. The following towns with their pasture lands were given to the descendants of Aaron the priest: Hebron, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Libna, Jatir, Eshtemoa, Holon, Debir, Ain, Jetua, and Bet-Shemesh. 9 towns from these 2 tribes. From the tribe of Benjamin, the priests were given the following towns with their pasture lands: Gibeon, Geba, Anathoth, and Almon, 4 towns. So in all, 13 towns with their pasture lands were given to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. The rest of the Kohathite clan from the tribe of Levi was allotted the following towns and pasture lands from the tribe of Ephraim: Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Gezer, Kibzaim, and Beth Horon, 4 towns. The following towns and pasture lands were allotted to the priests from the tribe of Dan: Elteca, Gibbethon, Ajalon, and Gath Rimon, 4 towns. The half-tribe of Manasseh allotted the following towns with their pasture lands to the priests: Tanakh and Gath Rimon, 2 towns. So in all, 10 towns with their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clan. The descendants of Gershon, another clan within the tribe of Levi, received the following towns with their pasture lands from the half-tribe of Manasseh: Golan in Bashan, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone, and Be'er Eshterah, 2 towns. From the tribe of Issachar, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Kishion, Dibarath, Jermuth, and En-Ganim, 4 towns. From the tribe of Asher, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Mishal, Abdon, Helkath, and Rehob, 4 towns. From the tribe of Naphtali, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Kadesh in Galilee, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Hamath Dor and Kartan, 3 towns. So in all, 13 towns with their pasture lands were allotted to the clan of Gershon. The rest of the Levites, the Merari clan, were given the following towns with their pasture lands from the tribe of Zebulun: Jokneam, Kartah, Dimnah, and Nahalal, four towns. From the tribe of Reuben, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Bezer, Jahaz, Kedmoth, and Mafath, four towns. From the tribe of Gad, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Ramoth and Gilead, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Mahanaim, Heshbon, and Jezer, four towns. So in all, 12 towns were allotted to the clan of Merari. The total number of towns and pasture lands within Israelite territory given to the Levites came to 48. Every one of these towns had pasture lands surrounding it. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Joshua 22. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, "You have done as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have obeyed every order I have given you. During all this time you have not deserted the other tribes. You have been careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God right up to the present day. And now the Lord your God has given the other tribes rest, as he promised them. So go back home to the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you as your possession on the east side of the Jordan River. But be careful to obey all the commands and instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went home. Moses had given the land of Bashan east of the Jordan River to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The other half-tribe was given the land west of the Jordan. As Joshua sent them away and blessed them, he said to them, "Go back to your homes with the great wealth you have taken from your enemies, the vast herds of livestock, the silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and the large supply of clothing. Share the plunder with your relatives." So the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the rest of Israel at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. They started their journey back to their own land of Gilead, the territory that belonged to them according to the Lord's command through Moses. But while they were still in Canaan, and when they came to a place called Geliloth, near the Jordan River, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stopped to build a large and imposing altar. The rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Geliloth, at the edge of the land of Canaan, on the west side of the Jordan River. So the whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and prepared to go to war against them. First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, to talk with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each of the heads of his family within the clans of Israel. When they arrived in the land of Gilead, they said to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, "The whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourselves in rebellion against him? Was our sin at Peor not enough? To this day we are not fully cleansed of it, even after the plague that struck the entire community of the Lord. And yet today you are turning away from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us tomorrow. If you need an altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land, where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated, and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God." Didn't divine anger fall on the entire community of Israel when Achan, a member of the clan of Zerah, sinned by stealing things set apart for the Lord? He was not the only one who died because of his sin. Then the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered the heads of the clans of Israel, "The Lord, the Mighty One, is God. The Lord, the Mighty One, is God. He knows the truth, and may Israel know it too. We have not built the altar in treacherous rebellion against the Lord. If we have done so, do not spare our lives this day. If we have built an altar for ourselves to turn away from the Lord, or to offer burnt offerings or grain offerings or peace offerings, may the Lord himself punish us. The truth is, we have built this altar because we fear that in the future your descendants will say to ours, what right do you have to worship the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has placed the Jordan River as a barrier between our people and you people of Reuben and Gad. You have no claim to the Lord, so your descendants may prevent our descendants from worshiping the Lord. So we decided to build the altar not for burnt offerings or sacrifices, but as a memorial. It will remind our descendants and your descendants that we too have the right to worship the Lord at his sanctuary with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and peace offerings. Then your descendants will not be able to say to ours, you have no claim to the Lord. If they say this, our descendants can reply, look at this copy of the Lord's altar that our ancestors made. It is not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. It is a reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. Far be it from us to rebel against the Lord or turn away from him by building our own altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifices. Only the altar of the Lord our God that stands in front of the tabernacle may be used for that purpose. When Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the community, the heads of the clans of Israel, heard this from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were satisfied. Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, replied to them, today we know the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord as we thought. Instead, you have rescued Israel from being destroyed by the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders left the tribe of Reuben and Gad in Gilead and returned to the land of Canaan to tell the Israelites what had happened. And all the Israelites were satisfied and praised God and spoke no more of war against Reuben and Gad. The people of Reuben and Gad named the altar Witness, for they said, it is a witness between us and them that the Lord is our God too. Psalm 47, for the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Come, everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants, whom he loves. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a psalm. God reigns above the nations, sitting on his holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together with the people of the God of Abraham. For all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honored everywhere. 1 Corinthians 10. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I am saying is true. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Think about the people of Israel. Weren't they united by eating the sacrifices at the altar? What am I trying to say? Am I saying that food offered to idols has some significance or that idols are real gods? No, not at all. I'm saying that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What? Do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than He is? You say, I am allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything. But not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you, this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it, out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the Church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that they may be saved. And now, Lord, You did the best for us all. And we ask that You would give Your blessing now to the reading and the hearing of Your word. Amen. Paul is reminding us that we all struggle in the desert. We all experience temptation. In the Old Testament, the struggle in the desert took these people out. They failed to believe. They failed to enter into what God had done and who they now were. They were God's special possession. God had delivered them out of slavery into freedom. God had given them a land as their own. But they succumbed to the temptation of unbelief, and it resulted in their bodies being littered across the wilderness. They never realized who they were and how they were to exist. But not for us. Paul doesn't want us to get confused and think that these desert wanderings are some kind of example for us, or to think that it is somehow analogous to us, to the normal Christian life, to struggle and die in the wilderness. To struggle and fail with temptation, to have our bones littered about in the desert. No, the normal Christian life that Paul is pointing us to is the life of Christ, living and abiding in you, the victorious life. Overwhelming victory has happened in Christ on the cross. Where Adam failed, Christ has won. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, "For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ Jesus." The consequences of Christ's victory have fundamentally altered your being. You are no longer a slave. You are his special possession. You're his child. And this act of deliverance wasn't just for some obscure little tribe in North Africa. No, it was done for all humanity. You are in him. You have been drawn into the very life of God. This is the truth of your being. And it's all a gift. Will you have challenges? Will you have temptations and suffering in this life? Yes, you will. But that does not change what has happened to you. And the Spirit's life in you now has made a way for you to endure through all these struggles in the grace and the peace of our Lord. 2 Peter 1:4 says, God has enabled you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The truth of our being is that Christ has made us partakers of his divine nature. The way of our being is now empowered by the nature of God himself, his presence in you. And here's the thing, I can go on and on talking about this. And some of you are thinking that maybe I have. But the truth is this, only God can reveal God. And so my prayer today is that God will reveal himself to you. He'll reveal the truth of your being to you, that you'll begin to realize what he did on that cross has changed everything. You are his, you are forgiven, you are loved, you are made new. You've been given freedom, and you've been given a new land to live in, a land that is flowing with life in him. As the revelation of Christ breaks forth in your heart, in your mind, you'll have a new power to live a new way, the way of faith and hope and love. It will be a self-giving life, a radically forgiving life, a co-suffering life. It'll be the cruciform life of Christ, living his life in and through you. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. And that's a prayer that I have for my family, for my wife and my daughters and my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you, friends. Appreciate you spending these 25 minutes with your brother Hunter here through the scriptures and in prayer. These are good minutes, my friend, well worth the investment in your soul. And speaking of investing into souls, let me encourage you, my friend, as God invests his message of grace into your life, may you in turn bestow that blessing upon others. Be an ambassador of God's grace. Be an ambassador of God's kindness and mercy to those in your life. Take time to listen. Take time to care. As freely as you have been given, so too. May God help you to give. God's grace and mercy to us is abundant, and may he help us to give abundantly to others. The Lord knows our world needs it. Well, hey, friends, you go out and be a light in the world today. Be an ambassador of God's goodness and mercy and love. In little ways and in extravagant ways, just share what has been given to you. Well, what do you say we show up again here tomorrow and do this again? Let's come again to receive and have our hearts opened wide to the goodness of God. That's my plan. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, your brother Hunter plans on being here. Until that day, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.